Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What are the matchups that you're most looking forward to or more you're most interested in this Sunday night matchup between your Houston Texans and the visiting Detroit Lions? Let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. Like this friend from the 832 texted in, Danielle Hunter versus Penei Sewell.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
Very good one.
Really, there's a lot of defensive ones, offensive ones that I'm looking forward to. Defensive line as a whole, I think if you can get pressure on Jared Goff, that mm-hmm. that is somebody who is liable to make mistakes. But pass rushing wise, that wasn't where I went. One of the ones that I went to was actually like defensively in a different way, as we've talked about Nico Collins being at practice. One of the other things practice wise reporting that piqued my interest was that Foley Fatukasi did not practice again. And so, I mean, that's 3 days not practice, and that feels like it's going to lead to him not playing. And he's been really good for you in the middle and the spine of that defense. And what have we talked about when it comes to this Lions team? They run that ball really well.
They sure do.
Like, Azeez being back is cool, but without Foley, like, I want to see the spine of this defense versus this run game, this run tandem of Montgomery and Gibbs, and how that works, because you're going to need to stop the run, and particularly you're going to need to tackle just for the defense to begin to work, right, before you can even get to the secondary and before you can even get to pass rushing and stopping Jared Goff, or even trying to go get back there and, heat him up and make him feel uncomfortable. You're going to need to stop the run, because generally in this league, if a team can run the football and they can continually do that, they will.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. And on the text board, the Sewell versus Danielle Hunter thing, I kind of expanded it even beyond that, because I think just the Lions offensive line, being so dominant is one that, maybe Danico Autry on the other end, can bring some heat and have some success. But I think that's an obvious good one. Now it also changed a little bit today with the news of Nico Collins him being activated and probably going to play. I'm looking at that. Going to play. I'm looking at that Lions secondary. They have some real dogs in the secondary as well, but they have been susceptible to some bigger plays. So Brian Branch, Nico Collins, safeties against Nico Collins, stretching it. That is going to be key for me as well.
Yeah, if Nico Collins does indeed play, and even if he doesn't, right, I wanted to see this Texans team versus man. C.J. Stroud actually does really well throwing against man this season, like positive EPA versus man coverage. You just haven't seen a lot of it, right? It's one of those things that we talked about coming into the season. Is he going to get a lot of that Patrick Mahomes treatment, where you get a lot of too high and teams are just going to force you to throw underneath, and you'll get a decent amount of zone in that as well. This Lions team likes playing a lot of cover, you know, single high or cover three type looks where, mm-hmm. you know, that middle is closed. And they also play a lot of man along with that. They trust their guys in defense, especially if Nico Collins is back. Like, can you take advantage of that? Can you guys get guys in separation and allow C.J. Stroud mm-hmm. to kind of do his work, do his magic with his arm? Because if that's the case, the passing game can do some fun things.
Yeah, that got a lot more interesting, didn't it? You know, in terms of how they're going to approach Nico. But as we talked about, I think they're going to, you know, they've been somewhat preparing for Nico. But if you are in man, I mean, that's something that could maybe spark this offense a little bit. You know, so the defensive line, yes. Sewell, yes, against Danielle Hunter. Nico Collins, yes.
And further, when we're talking defensive line, like making sure that you get that push run-wise, because Jahmyr Gibbs, I believe he leads the league in yards before contact and mm-hmm. Per carry. And so, like, that's another thing is, like, you can't even just be letting these guys get a whole bunch of yards before you get a chance to put hands on them. Talk less of making sure that you get back to tackling in the way that you were early on this season as opposed to the way that you have been of late. Because if you're giving them 3.3 yards before contact and then they pick up another two or three after mm-hmm. that, the math is pretty simple where we're talking about 5 or 6 yards rush. That will absolutely terrorize you on the day.
Absolutely. And another one that's a little more obvious, and then I have one that's not so obvious, is their defensive line. I mean, we know the story about this Texans team. It's the offensive line. It's can they get it done against these guys? They got bolstered this week. But with an addition along the defensive line.
Although Za'Darius Smith,
practiced a lot.
He didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, and it was just designated as personal. I don't know what those personal reasons are. Obviously, I think that's kind of the point when they talk about personal reasons. I haven't checked on what it looks like today, but how reasonable is it to expect him to just be dropped in after not practicing? I don't know. That's the position on a team where I imagine that it's most likely. When it comes to edge rusher, because it's just see ball, hit get ball, right? Like, mm-hmm. go trouble that guy over there that's holding on to the football, right? Maybe that is how it works. But if they don't have Za'Darius Smith, and even if they do, like, one of the names I think of defensively is actually Alim McNeil, mm-hmm. defensive tackle. He ranks 10th on ESPN's pass rush win rate for defensive tackles.
And he's
going to
be facing your left guard.
And that's the thing, right? Like, he is the Quinnen Williams replacement in this, right? Like, the guy that is going to be lined up over your guards, and particularly the left guard, I imagine, a good amount. Is this team going to do a better job of maybe helping your center over to the left guard, especially if it's Jarrett Patterson, as we assume it is? Like, how's Jarrett Patterson hold up? I told you earlier that when it comes to pass rush or pass block win rate, your tackles on the outside, 12th, which is, all right, above average, solid. The interior guard and centers, 31st, right? That is the place where pressure exists, and Alim McNeil creates that at a high level. How do they handle that? Is Jarrett Patterson able to handle up individually? Does Bobby Slowick do some things to kind of add some support? Or do they even, like, get out, put C.J. Stroud on the move to kind of alleviate some of those things? That's one of those things that has been talked about. Bobby Slowick was asked in his availability, play action. And I think he kind of erroneously said that, you know, they're high up on the list when it comes to play action mm-hmm. usage. They're in the 20s. Maybe that goes up to try and alleviate some of the things that the interior of the interior of the offensive line is going to have to face against Alim McNeil and the defensive line.
And not only that, people in these parts might remember the name DJ Reader. DJ Reader is a Lion and has had some good games.
Damn, I didn't know he was a Lion.
Yeah, on the interior of that Lions team. So interior offensive line versus all those guys, and with or without. Za'Darius Smith or however it plays out, that's going to be a big one. And then there's one that I feel could well turn the game. And I'm not trying to be dramatic or anything. I think it could well turn the game. The Detroit Lions special team is without question the best special teams in the NFL. And they lead the league in, return coverage, kickoff returns. They've made every field goal. They've just been monsters on the special teams. And Frank Ross, our guy Frank Ross, gave them their love. And boy, I think, that could be something that if the Texans can just hold their own covering kicks, returning kicks against a team that just absolutely stifles opponents, that could be huge. And we always talk about the three phases. We don't always talk about the third phase, but Frank Ross sure did. Right, Figgy? Frank Ross sure did. That's my
give
bad.
Me one second.
That's my I'm bad.
I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, Frank Ross did.
You're not.
He sure did. He sure did. Frank Ross, he definitely
preach.
Did. He be
preach.
Talking. But yeah, Frank Ross was talking about the Detroit Lions special teams, and I think that also like it permeates into other ways. But this,
by the
is
way,
what
that's
Frank
all
Ross
on
said.
Me. By the way, I should have. That's on me. Go ahead.
Different coordinators are some of the top tier special teams coaches who you play against, and some of the best returners or whatever. This week, Dave Phipp is currently, without a shred of doubt, in my opinion, the best special teams coach in the NFL. He's the most creative. He's the most disciplined. He knows how to find a roster full of players. They're aggressive. They got the best returner going in the NFL, and Khalif Raymond. They got the highest paid special teams player in the NFL, and Jalen Reeves-Maybin, a familiar face around here as well. And they play the right way. And they nullify yards. The longest return that they've given up is 11 yards. So for having the best punter in the NFL, 11 yards is a pretty darn good coverage unit. So all four phases, aggressive, the coach, man, got our hands full. Can't wait to see what we can do.
Is there anybody that loves their job more than Frank Ross?
No, there's not. There is absolutely not.
Like the energy and enthusiasm that he brings to every one of those Thursday meetings with the media and with the press.
Yeah.
Fantastic, amazing. But yeah, that is a part of it, right? Like the being on your P's and Q's, right? Those are the margins that exist is sometimes special teams. And so that'll be interesting. But I think that also reminds me of the aggression that can exist, right? The special teams doesn't often get out there because Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell likes going for it on fourth down. He likes being aggressive. I do wonder how much that factors into all of this. I don't know if that's particularly a matchup, and maybe the matchup is the aggression that he shows versus D'Amico Ryans, where sometimes D'Amico has been a little conservative, sometimes seemingly playing for field goals, sometimes not quite handling the ends of halves necessarily in the right ways. I do wonder how that matchup in a more esoteric way plays out.
No, I think he will. Dan Campbell does in every game. You're going to see if they get him into a fourth down situation anywhere in the field, I think Dan Campbell will do that. Yeah. But when they turn to their special teams, they are the best in the NFL.
Plus, what that aggression does for this defense that, you know, D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke are throwing out there, right? Like on a third down.
That's a good point.
Third and medium is not necessarily one of those, hey, just pin your ears back, because they might run on third and medium and just, you know, get themselves really, or even third and long, they might run, get themselves closer because they know they're going on fourth down. Like that play calling changes. So I am interested to see just how that changes. In addition to that, the Lions love using jumbo package, right? The size of the Lions versus the relative, like, kind of size of the Texans defense. Like, this Texas defense isn't a giant one, right? Your linebackers, you'll have Aziz in this game.
No, they say it themselves. They're not a real big team.
They're a little bit more speed and finesse.
Yeah.
I do wonder, like, how does that ultimately factor in? Does this Texans defense get muscled by the jumbo packages, six offensive linemen, and, you know, the way that they get out there and really use their you know, their heft against the teams?
Yeah, we're all familiar with the Cowboys thing, eligible tackles that are eligible receivers and all that. They do it a lot, and they also, you know, it kind of speaks to Will Anderson and Fadakasi, you know, probably not playing in this game. Those are those two dudes right there alone in against a jumbo type package, you know, an extra offensive lineman. They're huge, especially Will Anderson.
Yeah, with the speed that he possesses. Yeah. I mean, and also
and
the
size.
Power.
I mean, yeah, just size and power. So there's some interesting matchups here that are sort of Porter, just, you know, kind of underneath the headliners that are going to be big time.
And one more, I realize that some of these kind of get to a tough place at times, but the slot receiver that is Amon-Ra St. Brown, let me say his name right. Versus, you know, whatever slot defender the Texans are putting out there. Jalen Petrie obviously has been that. I do wonder, does that shift at all with the return of Jeff Okudah from IR, right? Do you see some situations where they shuffle the cornerbacks to have maybe more of a true cover guy in those situations, as opposed to, because, like, you really have to contend with Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's one of the best receivers in the league, and maybe not a prototypical receiver in the ways that historically we've looked at kind of like the best receivers to be. Do you travel Stingley in some of those instances?
But he's in the slot a lot, too.
Exactly, right? You know? What do you do to counter that? Because that matchup is going to be a very interesting and telling one. That's been a lot, one of the places where see other teams have been able to get their rocks off and getting big plays against the secondary.
That's where I feel like the sort of another underlying story here that I think could loom large. You know, Jameson Williams coming back from his suspension.
Yeah.
Boy, he just, that's just another threat, you know, that could go down the field. They use four or five receivers. And obviously St. Brown's at the center of it all. But they have a lot of guys that can really hurt your secondary. That speaks to, as you mentioned, Okuda. You know, how are they going to use him? So it's a fun game. I still think the Lions, you know, it'd be very much a surprise to me. Spoiler alert for when we make our picks, if the Lions lose this game, because they have been so good and they've been rolling up all kinds of points because of the things we're talking about. But it did get a lot more interesting, at least from the Texans' offensive perspective with Nico coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. So those are kind of the matchups we're most interested in. To be fair, 713 notes on the 5-Hour Energy fan line that Campbell can be a little bit of an idiot, make some stupid decisions on kicks when he goes for it. Yeah. But one of the things that I will say that I admire about this, because I do readily acknowledge that sometimes you can be led astray by, you know, the principles of like analytics when you apply those.
Mm-hmm.
I do appreciate that he is real consistent in his application, because that's one of the things.
He definitely is. Yeah.
That's one of the things that gets you into trouble when you veer into the space of I'm going to allow some of these advanced metrics and things to help me dictate these things. In theory, you have to apply them consistently, mm-hmm, for you to get the effect, right? The idea being, more often than not, this thing will happen if X, right?
Yeah.
And if you are not going to apply that consistently, you're now leaving this to, you're playing, you know, you're, it's a crapshoot, right? You're flipping a coin, mm-hmm, in a way with probably worse odds than flipping a coin. And then if you do not hit, you're not getting the benefit. If you do that consistently, yes, you will hit more often than not. But if you narrow it down in its utilization and you only do it one or two times, you can miss both times and feel real stupid, even though the outcome, in theory, over a larger sample should work out in your way. He does it to where he gives himself that large sample. There's going to be instances where he looks foolish.
He's playing the odds the way the odds should be played.
But he's playing the odds in the truest sense of the
word. Like, not just part-time using the analytics and the odds. He's doing it. He's completely committed, and it's been, by and large, to their benefit. And you know what? We didn't even mention one other one that, you know, I'm a big fan of his, and that is LaPorta. Keep in mind, Jake Hansen didn't practice today, right? And who are your cover linebackers? And not only for LaPorta underneath, but they throw the ball a lot to Jahmyr Gibbs and get him in space. So that is another, at least the last one I'm thinking of, huge, huge matchup when you look at the Texans linebackers and Jalen Petrie in coverage. That's a big advantage to the Lions.
I'm real interested to see like what this team does if they get Joe Mixon the ball or some of these, mm-hmm, guys over the middle of the field. 713, Lions and Ravens have shown that their biggest weakness is the center of the field behind the linebackers and deep ball threat.
Yeah, they have.
Those are available, but also, like, you know, we've talked about the idea of getting the ball out quickly and getting some of these guys opportunities to get the ball in space. I do wonder if some of that shows up for Bobby Slowick as well. All, mm-hmm, right, some of the matchups we're interested in. In this big time matchup with the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football, 7:20 is when it kicks, right here on Sports Radio 610. Pregame starts 3 hours prior with Sean and Seth, and they'll be live at on the south side of the building there on Kirby, getting you started, getting you prepared for the game. All right, coming up next, it's about time for our lunchtime confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do those next on Sports Radio 610.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Gotta admit, Figgy Fig, one of the best people you will ever know.
Correct.
You disappointed me.
Really?
You're disappointed.
Was it because I went over there to Mega?
No, that was just funny.
Drama.
No, that was just funny. If you weren't listening earlier, for some reason, Figgy became a part of the Mega Spanish language morning show.
What do you mean for some reason? There's no one that I know that appreciates the culture more.
Oh, no, he appreciates it. Yeah. He just doesn't speak the language. And
why
he
would
was
that
on
be
morning show.
Como esta?
Why would that be necessary?
Como esta? That's not how you disappointed me.
What did I do?
I think Figgy put a contract out on Tyler Milner yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's flat out. I have a reason why I did
that, too. Oh, I'm sure you do.
Okay, can we explain what it is?
Yeah, so the reason is...
Wait, explain what you did first. All right, so, you know, there's Tyler Milner minding his own business, putting out the what do you call them, turds of the week or whatever.
To be fair, that's a little aggressive.
Yeah, that's very
aggressive, which is
part of this story.
That's what it is, right? It's a little aggressive, but yeah.
And Mike Tyson was one of them, and he's like, hey, you know, I don't want to make Mike Tyson mad.
No problems.
You know, I'm just saying that's our turd of the week. What does Figgy do? He tags Mike Tyson himself.
Snitch tag.
God.
That's the snitch tag, the dreaded snitch tag.
And here's the thing. Normally, I'd be like, whatever, he's just having fun. Mike Tyson damn well could come to Houston and kill Tyler.
Mike Tyson's grown. He's grown quite a bit.
I just want to make sure, I want to cover all bases, because whenever somebody say something on these airways, it's always people like, Search Trend said. Search Trend said. So look, hey man, this is not a 610 said. This is a T-Mail said.
I kind of appreciate that.
Oh, you're backpedaling.
What he's saying is, if anybody, it's better to focus it on just T-Mill as opposed to having anybody and everybody be available for the...
Because how many times that somebody says something on the station and they be like, hey, 610 and said that they need to trade CJ Stroud. And we like, who said that?
So you're covering yourself.
Yes. I don't want no issues with that man.
You know,
I am good.
Don't put that stink on me.
So I went on and tagged him like, hey, look, this is who said it.
That's still a disappointment.
Hey, I don't care. Look, I don't want to run into Mike Tyson and he be like, oh, you work for that station? You the station that said, call me a turd? I'm going to be looking like that black dude during that interview, that TV interview with Mike Tyson.
Oh, man.
You know what's funny? I think that I would rather Mike Tyson just not know who I am than know. Like, finding out Mike Tyson knows who I am would put me in dread. Like, I'd just be like, ooh, is it good, though?
It's always possible that he could snap.
Is it good, though? Does he like? Yes?
Yeah.
I do feel like Mike Tyson is in a great headspace.
But not right now. He said it himself. The Dark Knight Mike Tyson has shown up again. I'm like, oh, man.
Thanks for nothing. Was it Jake Paul? Which one of them?
Yeah.
Jake Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
R.I.P. Yeah. Tyler Milner.
Nah, Tyler's good. He'll be all right.
Is he?
Hey, I would be more scared of Tyler calling Aaron Judge an ogre than Mike Tyson. That's a scary dude in person.
It is.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
All right, I will begin understanding that I am navigating tough terrain, so I hope that everybody rolls with me, and if you don't, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace to Ben. The dog.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Herbstreet, who has been all over college football things.
He's a good boy. He was a good boy.
Yeah. And as we all know, all dogs go to heaven. However, Kirk Herbstreet, you're not low. I know who you are. I see what you was doing. Kirk Herbstreet was hiding behind his dog. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, I know.
He
was using Ben as a shield. He knows that people don't necessarily. Although, I do wonder, how do you feel about Kirk Herbstreit? Let me know. But it does feel like, by and large, people aren't huge Kirk Herbstreit.
So he's about to get fired now.
Well, that's not going to happen. He got like two or three jobs at this point.
Yeah.
But bringing your dog on all these trips, like, it did feel a lot like...
It's like the kids on the press conference?
Precisely. That's what it felt a lot like. Mm-hmm. It felt like you were out here hiding behind, hey, look at this golden retriever. Everybody loves golden retrievers. Yeah, but I know why you're getting out here and bringing this golden retriever out here. You're not low. I see you.
I think you're going to have some support from some people.
Yeah,
I think you will.
I can see that, because if you're not a fan of Kerb Herbstreit, you ain't going to say nothing bad about the dog. Yeah. You ain't going to say nothing bad about this dog, man. So that kind of make you like Kerb Herbstreit a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's a bad take.
Stop hiding behind your... Well, I guess you can't now, but rest in peace, man. Rest in peace, man.
These are my confessions. So B Scott tweeted something a couple hours ago, and
You're bringing this up.
What did B... Let me go ahead.
So glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah, so this is what he tweeted. He said, my daughter high school does pajama day on Fridays. Even some of the teachers participate. What's the best way to communicate to the school that this is BS?
Oh,
I kind of side with him on this, man.
Oh, no.
I kind of, look, man, school is setting you up for real life. Why is you going in there wearing pajamas? Pajamas is supposed to be a home thing, man.
We could wear pajamas here.
We can, but that won't be a good look. Why don't you start wearing pajamas in here every single day? That's not a good
look.
You
tell me you don't sleep in these fishing shirts?
No, I sleep naked.
Oh, well, that went the way that I did not want it to go.
All right.
I mean, so you want me to wear that? Okay.
Man, we got to teach our kids right, man. Like, dress presentable. That's what my parents always told me. Dress presentable.
We were just talking about have some fun at work. Have some fun at school.
Every Friday.
Oh, it's every Friday?
Every Friday.
Yeah. Every Friday.
We
understand had some of these themes and stuff like that. But every single Friday.
Every Friday might be a lot, but I'm here for, man, that's not a big deal. If it gets the kids engaged and energized, then it's cool. It might be a lot.
What it is start getting people lazy where they feel like they don't have to dress up for anything. They could just throw on anything they want, and then when that job interview happen, then they lost in the sauce.
All right, so this is what I was gonna tweet, and I ended up not doing it, not because I just didn't. And so I'm gonna, it applies to you now too.
Oh wow. Right.
Okay.
When did B Scott become my age? When did Figgy become my age? That's the worst. That's the biggest old man thing. Or they shouldn't wear pajamas.
Pajamas are for...
In my day, we wore ties.
Pajamas? I mean, you want to wear house shoes all day long, too? Like, that stuff is for the house.
Yeah, y'all really disappointed.
That's for the house, man.
This is really...
you might as well go to Walmart at this point if you want to wear some pajamas.
They do be doing that. I feel like this has veered into, like, a two Americas thing, which I think does speak to one of the issues in this, is that... how does everybody define pajamas? Because that is not always universal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, how appropriate are the pajamas for everybody? That's the thing I was thinking
about. Yeah, I go to sleep in basketball shorts. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not talking about basketball shorts and
you're
t-shirt.
Talking about full pajamas.
The pajamas you wear at around Christmas
like
time.
Like Christmas morning,
The
yeah.
ones you wear every Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, nah, we not going to school like that. Every single Friday.
You guys are so...
It's just, for me... It's a lot of Fridays, and it's a little nebulous, but I'm cool with the kid. Baby's having fun. That's
Thank
fine.
You.
I'm good with that. But just can we reel it back a little bit?
Yeah.
That's all. Once a month.
All right. So I'm very, very. And by the way, in just a matter of moments here, we're going to be having our college football discussion. But this is a lead up to it, a confession. Really excited about the LSU-Alabama game. And I'll get to it when we do the college football headlines here in about 10 minutes. But here's my confession. I am kind of reluctant about watching this game because LSU are the kings of turn off the lights, do the strobe light when you score.
Why don't you like
it's
that?
It's the worst.
Talk about old man.
It's the worst.
Look at this old man right here.
It's distracting.
What, it hurt your eyes?
It's distracting. It's not good television.
Can't see the TV.
It's not good television.
Trying to watch the game.
It looks really cool.
It does not. It looks awful.
Look at this old guy
what
right here.
What kind of, you know.
Stop flickering there in the lights.
What kind of off-Broadway show are you putting on? That is awful. That's vaudevillian. That's ridiculous. Oh, this puts the strobe lights on when we score a touchdown. Turn all the lights off. That'll be cool. Yeah, nobody can see it on TV and it's distracting.
What are you seeing at that point? The celebration?
Well, I want to see the completion of the whole moment.
They don't
turn
off the lights until after the touchdown is there.
Yeah, and it's distracting. It's awful. It sucks.
whatever, dog. Like, I feel like you went from I am the young person on the show now to no, I will retake my place as the old guy.
You went from everybody should wear pajamas anytime they want to stop flickering the lights.
Stop flickering the lights.
Yeah, you can wear pajamas as long as the lights are on and I can see them.
Yeah.
I don't know how that actually works, but all right. Watch this. Let's see if I will somehow be giving an old man take here, as it seems like that's been the theme of this lunchtime confessions. I've been neglecting going to the store all week, and I feel bad about it, but not bad enough to go. Like I'm doing that thing. Like I don't know. Maybe this is a super young thing. Maybe this is like a when you're in college or whatever.
Yeah.
And you just start eating everything in the pantry. To the point where you have nothing left.
Yeah.
I'm on reserves, man.
Yeah.
Like I'm out here eating Jamaican beef patties for dinner. You know what I mean? Like that's where I'm at.
The just frozen because, ones that have been there for a couple months.
Yeah, man. And they're good, don't get me wrong. But I'm just like I have not gone to the store. To the point where I have been having coughing fits. Thankfully not too much on air.
Yeah.
But like in breaks and stuff. Going to the store picking up some like Robitussin.
Yeah.
Have not done it. I've just been neglecting going to the store and I have no good reason for it. I'm just being an idiot.
You're being young lazy. I think that's what it is. You're not old, you're being young lazy. It's like you go open your pantry and you're like, "Oh, I think for dinner tonight I'm going to have a Pop-Tart and a turkey patty." You know, it's like,
these been sitting in here for a minute.
Yeah. Well-balanced meal. Yeah. And here's the issue, right? I only moved to my spot like, 3 months ago? So it's not like I got that backlog of stuff that's in there where you just kind of have developed.
Rice or something.
Yeah, it's I got a whole bunch of stuff in here that I haven't gone to. No, this is all fresh. This is all fresh and there's not a lot of it. And so chips and salsa for dinner, yep.
All right. Watch this.
So the Rockets revealed their City Connect jerseys or whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
They teased it, I want to say a couple days ago, and they showed like some type of weird logo. I wasn't a fan of the logo, but now that they revealed the whole uniform, the jersey,
mm-hmm.
it's not so bad, man. I actually like the City Connect jersey. I think it looked pretty cool, man.
I saw it. It's as they go because they haven't been real strong across the board. It's one of the better ones.
Yeah, yeah. I actually like this because, like I said, when they showed the teaser,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of like, I'm not excited about this. Another bad job.
Yeah.
But this one actually looked kind of fire, man. Mm-hmm. I actually like it.
Yeah, with the Block H Town. And obviously the allusion to the mustard and ketchup Houston Rockets type stuff. It's all right. It's cool.
You got a lot of people that are young like you or act like young. Ramen and tuna, baby.
Shout out to Wesley. Here's the thing that I probably needed to do. People are like, you could order your cold medicine on Amazon. This is the thing that I don't do, though. I don't go so young as to just order everything online and have it brought to me in DoorDash. But I also am not doing the old responsible thing of having a list and constantly going to the store and getting everything I need. So I'm in the middle where I'm just suffering like an idiot.
You should do the HEB pickup. Just order it online and they'll deliver it to your car.
Didn't I just say I wasn't thinking? Clearly being smart. Look at you giving me solutions when I'm telling you about being an idiot. That's all. I appreciate it. I appreciate that. It does feel like it all costs the same 713. But I also appreciate the 713 pointing out that he's had a house for a month and Figgy has turned into you darn kids, get off my lawn.
Yeah, man. It comes at you fast.
Hey, pajamas are ugly, man. Who want to just go out and wear some pajamas in a public place?
Because they're comfortable.
They are.
It's ugly. The same reason
jogging pants are comfortable, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I got some on right now.
It's basically
I ain't about to wear no pajama pants.
You should have worn a suit today.
That's true. This is a place of business.
You know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to wear some Christmas pajama pants.
Well, you're going to be at home because it's Saturday.
Don't nobody say nothing.
I like that's funny that you said as a threat, ain't nobody up here going to give a damn. Everybody's going to be like, true. Oh, what's happening? Oh, you look good today, Fick. That's what's going to get you. Someone's going to say you look good and it's going to throw you for a ride.
Yeah.
No, it's funny because Lopez feels so strong about this, but we're not wearing no pajamas up here. Would not wear no pajamas up here.
I absolutely would wear pajamas.
No, you wouldn't.
If I had some.
All right, so now don't turn this into a dare. Please don't.
Yeah. No.
Do it for a week.
You know what? I do have pajama pants that I wear sometimes.
Do it for a week.
When it's cold. For a week? Hell
yeah,
no.
He's going to be up here wearing a robe.
Do it every Friday. Do it every Friday like the kids.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Do it every single day. I'm up here with some pajamas on.
Wait, hold on. Weren't we supposed to be wearing old school football helmets on Fridays?
No, what?
We was. Yeah, we was. Yeah.
See, look at us never following through. And I apologize to the 832 who says, I'm 60 and I order on Amazon. Okay, it's not about being old or young. I'm just dumb.
Some stuff you just got to pick up in the store. Like, I got to see it.
I say that as I just coughed, letting you know. So I guess I will stop being dumb and I'll stop by the store and give me some Robitussin. Until then, we still got a show to do right here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out for our lunchtime confessions. Coming up next, it is a Friday. We heading into college football weekend once again. Let's get into Lopez's college football headline of the weekend. We'll do that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, happy Football Friday to you, wherever you are, however you're listening to us. Thank you for making us a part of your day on Sports Radio 610 as we get ready for Texans Lions on Sunday. Sunday Night Football 720 here on your official radio home of the Houston, Texas Sports Radio 610. Before we get to that game, of course, we'll have other NFL games. But before we get to those games, college football.
Yes, sir.
We'll get going. And so with that being the case, Lopez being Cosby newspaper man as well, we get Lopez's college football headline of the weekend.
Mm-hmm. The catchy slogan?
Yes, sir.
Peace out Saturday.
Huh. Okay.
Peace out. Let me explain.
Please do, because I wasn't getting it.
All right. Georgia at Ole Miss. Loser. Peace.
Dang, so Georgia
maybe,
lose?
Maybe even Georgia. For sure Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
But keep in mind, Carson, we said this on College Football on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Beck is not playing well.
No, not particularly.
That defense and the run game and everything is just carrying Georgia right now. He's thrown 11 interceptions, I think, and multiple interceptions or multiple turnovers in three consecutive games. Ole Miss is going to put some numbers up. They are going to have success. What they put 50-something on Arkansas last week.
Yeah, man.
I mean,
that Lane Kiffin offense, it travels and it plays. And, I mean, if there was a team that was going to give them issues on it, you would think it'd be Georgia. I do wonder, though, right? Like, Ole Miss currently situated at 16 in the first college football playoff rankings. Georgia third.
No, Georgia has a chance still.
I find it hard, especially knowing how how the placards are slid up and down as opposed to kind of records are kind of looked at. I don't know that they'll really be bounced.
But Ole Miss for sure.
Ole Miss will be out of here.
I think number five or six coming into the country, into the season, et cetera. But that's a piece out for Ole Miss. And they are at home. They're in Oxford. Georgia they wouldn't be at home, you know, probably because of the other. That's the other thing. The SEC title game could well be off the table for them, and that helps bolster a playoff boost,
especially with the champions being getting yourself in for sure.
Alabama at LSU, peace. Peace.
Yeah, two loss Alabama. Obviously, LSU has had their ups and downs. Mm-hmm. That LSU defense just is not good though.
It has had some issues, big time. And they both have really bad losses that hurt them early.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, well, not early for Alabama, but they lost to Vanderbilt. And the Tigers lost to USC.
I knew it in theory, but hearing it again,
they lost to Vanderbilt.
You had to think about it one more time.
I'm sitting there like, really?
Yeah, they did.
Like, we saw it happen, and we're like, real? Vanderbilt, really?
And before we move on, you have an interesting story that I have a little follow-up on with regards to LSU.
Yeah, for the first time since 2015, LSU will actually have a live tiger. So if you're familiar with LSU, they're big on Mike the Tiger, which is a live tiger mascot that they've had for LSU for a while. They have not had that on the sidelines for almost a decade at this point.
Yeah.
But the governor is helping facilitate a situation to actually have a live tiger mascot on the sideline. And it's not Mike the Tiger. It's not... Yeah. And it's not even the tiger from in-state, although I imagine, like, where do you actually find
the tiger
a
store?
Real Bayou Bengal? But they're bringing one in.
In Amazon?
A state senator, Bill Wheat, from Ponchatoula, I hope I said that right, I probably didn't, Louisiana, will get a new tiger from Florida whose name is Omar. I don't know why. Omar Bradley, in fact. The tiger got a last name. Oh, wait, hold on.
That sounds like a nice young man right there.
General Bradley.
Does the tiger have a social security number? Because I feel like having a last name means it's a lot more official. Like, right, Mike the Tiger, the one that is actually the live mascot, is Mike the 7th, right? They just numbered it. It's just the next Mike, like everybody's pet. They gave...
This is Omar Bradley.
Omar Bradley. Okay, anyways. But yes, he
you sound like a sweet young man.
Yeah, well, he's a Tiger.
And tear your ass up.
He's a Tiger. Well, is that... Okay, that was my story. I've covered a lot of games at LSU, and people talk about, you know, environment and intimidation and crowd and all that.
Live Bengal Tiger.
A Tiger, you know where they used to keep him before they ran him out onto the field, is right at the door of the visiting locker room. They kept his cage right next to the door of the visiting locker room. There has never been anything more intimidating than a live tiger as guys are going out to warm up.
Wow, this disrespect to Uga is nasty.
As they're coming, never, ever. Now, hey, Reveille. but still, going out to warm up, walking back from warm ups, going out to the game itself. They kept that live tiger right outside the visiting locker room. It was the most intimidating thing I've ever seen in college football.
Man, that's incredible.
I wonder if they're going to do it again.
They have to, right?
They should.
That's the whole idea, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about by the locker room.
I think this is hilarious.
I'll put it in the locker room. I'll be a complete a-hole. Put it inside the locker room, the visiting locker room.
Yeah.
Change at your own risk. Yeah. From the 281, the Tiger probably voted too. That's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyways, continuing with the Peace Out Saturday motif.
Colorado at Texas Tech.
Buddy.
Peace.
Yeah, man. Like, Colorado, quiet as it's kept, because mm-hmm. all the relative hoopla has not been the same this year.
Mm-hmm.
I have been thoroughly impressed that Deion Sanders has been able to do this in year two.
Yeah.
They're 6-2. Like, they're bowl eligible.
They're in the hunt, but Texas Tech is rolling a little bit.
They are rolling a little bit. And they'll be in Lubbock. In fact, if you can give me this little bit of audio, this is Deion on the opportunity to visit Texas Tech.
We expect to be in this. We expect to be where we are. We expect to be better than where we are, honestly. But we're here. And we're thankful. We're happy. We're excited. We're elated. But we're not done. And we cannot wait to get to Lubbock to do what we're gifted to do. It's a daunting challenge on the road. We love it. We're going to get booed. I heard they throw, is it tacos?
Tortillas.
I said everything but tortillas? The right thing, huh? I was around the area, though. I was around the area.
He was in the neighborhood.
What is it again?
Tortillas.
Tortillas. Is that legal to throw tortillas?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
They've been
but
told.
Yeah. We're going to try to make them empty those things. We're going to try to make them empty them.
They've been told multiple times not to throw the tortillas.
They never stop.
They never stop. They throw the tortillas all the Colorado Peace if you lose. I mean, that's it, because they've been impressive, as you said, but they have the 80th toughest schedule in college football.
Well, yeah, but I don't even think that's for Deion, that's absolutely the goal, right? And for those young men that are playing, that's absolutely the goal. He's won on the season. Like, that was
for sure.
They don't have an offensive line.
Yeah.
And they've managed to make this go, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that's been incredible. You can portal a lot of things. You can't portal an offensive line. They've been able to do enough to make this go at this level.
Yeah.
The real question becomes, hey, man, can you do this without Shador and Travis? Because you're coming very closely on that. But, of course, that's a little bit of hater talk in the future. Right now, doing the damn thing.
Yeah. Clemson at Virginia Tech. Clemson, it might already be peace out on Clemson, but they have no path to the ACC title game if they lose to Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech this week. Another one,
Klubnik's not good at football.
No, he's not. Another one that I don't think necessarily fits the peace out category, and let me explain. Michigan's at Indiana. If Indiana can beat Michigan...
I'm sorry, what was that? What was that name?
Michigan at Indiana.
I mean, 9-Windiana.
9-Windiana.
Soon to be 10-Windiana.
Soon, yes, exactly. I don't think Indiana's out if they lose. I mean, well.
The problem is you can see the patent disrespect at the college football playoff
that
is already given them.
Yeah, there is that.
Right? That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. They are the third-ranked undefeated team. Obviously, Oregon at 1, Miami at 9-0 at 4, and then Indiana at 8.
Yeah. But, okay, let's say they beat Michigan and lose to Ohio State. I still think they're in the playoff.
They should be.
Yeah. I still think they're in the – because then they close with Purdue and they'll beat Purdue.
They should be.
I think if they can they win this one and lose to Ohio State, they're in.
Like, college football has always been a place where style points actually really matter in a tangible way. They've given you all the style points you could possibly ask for. That's been the amazing thing about it. Not just that they have 9 wins for the first time in God knows how long, is that they're also doing it in such a way where there's no question on if they're a good football team. They're absolutely a good football team.
Yes, they absolutely are. And then a couple, three more games here that are not in the category of peace out. but worth mentioning here, worth keeping an eye on. The Longhorns should absolutely destroy Florida at home. DJ Lagway was their only hope. It doesn't look like he's going to play.
Although, head coach Billy Napier, mm-hmm. they've given him the
extension vote of confidence,
yeah. which is always a great thing.
But it seems legit.
Yeah, it does seem legit that he will remain the coach. And I don't know, they didn't give a timeline. I imagine he'll remain the coach through the end of the season at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
But that was trying to calm down all of the calls for that man's job. The vote of confidence always feels like more of a damnation than it does an actual vote of confidence.
It does. The Longhorns should destroy it. Longhorns coming off a bye week.
Yes.
Florida got beat up physically.
Yes.
And they're losing a Lagway. But the reason I'm saying keep an eye on this is, you know, let's see how the Longhorns look.
Mm-hmm.
They should kill them, but let's see how they look because they have games left. And this kind of snuck up on me. At Arkansas, Kentucky.
Wiley.
Which beat Georgia, right?
Kentucky can do that Kentucky thing. Texas looks like they are a prime candidate for a Kentuckying, to be completely honest.
Yes, and then at A&M.
Right, like, I know I was joking with our guy, Adam Spillane, on Wednesday. What is Texas' best win this season? Because it might actually be Vanderbilt. Like, they got that Michigan win early on, mm-hmm. does not look nearly as inspiring as it was prior.
They tried to make it, though.
Yeah.
They tried to make it. Colorado like it was
State,
a big win.
UTSA, UL Monroe, Mississippi State, Oklahoma in the Red River Showdown, Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt might be their best win for real.
It might. And like I said, they end up at Arkansas, Kentucky, which can be a spoiler, and at A&M. So, yeah, gonna keep an eye on that. And then two more here real quick. BYU at Utah. BYU is in a real good spot.
And
it's a rivalry game. The point spread is only 2.5. I would definitely bet on BYU. And I'm saying that out loud because I am definitely betting on BYU Saturday night. That's the late game. Nice little sprinkle to end the Saturday. Should be fun. But it's a rivalry game.
This feels like it's going to be a real sicko watching hours.
Oh,
like this is going to be at 9 Central Time at night.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is going to be another bludgeoning type of game where they're just
That's why I'm betting on BYU. And then the last one, Miami at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech beat Miami last year with Haynes King making some big throws. Haynes King's been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He's playing.
Ooh, fun.
He's playing against Miami.
I can't put it past Cam Ward to just do magic things, which is if that hasn't solidified his place as a Heisman finalist, I don't know what is, that you see a guy come into a week and you go, well, he's going to do special things, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it feels like Cam Ward absolutely is.
Yeah.
All right. A peace out Saturday. Let's see who gets left in the dust in college football this weekend. We'll talk about that on Tuesday on CF Boat.
CF Boat, baby.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to the entree that is Texans-Lions for us this weekend. Let's determine what will determine what wins or what gets the win for the Texans. Texans win because, Texans lose because. What do you think are the factors that will determine who wins and loses at NRG on Sunday? We'll talk about that next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.